Well, well. Prisoners of war appear to lead interesting lives these days.
Just so. Well, gentlemen, I don't have a key to let myself in with, so I must get home before the servants are all in bed. We shall see you at the club on Thursday, Mr.
Yes, Ford? Yes, yes, certainly. In any case, I must be going myself. I'll come with you, Bernie. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
None of that conversation meant very much to me at the time. It was only later on that I began to attach a new significance to it. I don't even believe that the Spaniard and his doings meant very much to Verne either, though being a lawyer, he was all too ready with his inferences. Well, we had more important things to talk about before long. By the Thursday night, news had reached the club of the Battle of Talavera.
Talavera may not have been decisive either way, but it's virtually the end of the British in Portugal.
Nonsense. Until we have driven the British into the Tagus, as we drove them into the sea at Corunna, the peninsula will never be safe for us.
The Spaniard seems to have a genius for guerrilla fighting.
Well, once we have the peninsula to ourselves, we shall know how to stamp out a few guerrillas. We gave them a taste of what they could expect at Madrid on May the 3rd.
I hardly think the mass shootings at Madrid reflected much credit on us, Monsieur le Comte.
Well, they were at least effective. There is a certain amount to be said for ruthlessness when it can serve our turn.
Two for the game, Monsieur le Comte.
Mm-hmm. Exactly an easy shot, is it? Well, here goes.
Mm. Too bad, Monsieur le Comte. As you say, some shots aren't exactly easy. But then, who would shoot a sitting bird?
I would, if necessary. As it was in Madrid on May the 3rd.
I shouldn't like to have such a shooting on my conscience.
Well played, sir. That makes game. Well, Monsieur le Comte, you seem to have lost again.
So it seems. Well, gentlemen, like the British, perhaps I shall lose every battle, except the last. It was later than usual when I left the club that evening. 2 hours later than usual. The countryside was silent and deserted as I walked back out of the town to La Grande Bretèche. It was a brilliant moonlight night, and every detail of the scene was bathed in a silvery glow. The river itself had become a river of silver, that beautiful river Loire which flows below the gardens of La Grande Bretèche. All at once, I remembered what Vernet had told me the other evening, how the Spanish prisoner had been seen swimming in the river on just such a moonlit night. Well, this time there was no sign of him. He was far too snugly housed in the bedroom of my wife. Well, I was not to know that. Not just then. But I can well imagine the scene. Yes, I can imagine it all very clearly.
My darling. Oh, please, you're trembling.
I feel afraid.
Afraid, my darling. Afraid of me.
Oh, no. Afraid for you, my poor dear. Afraid when I wonder what is to become of us both.
We will go away from here. You must come with me back to Spain. There we shall be safe. Well, one of these days.
Oh, my darling. What have you done to me? I must be mad sitting here listening to you. I must be mad.
My darling. What do you think about when you are alone?
About you. I think of you swimming the river each night to come and see me. And I pray for you.
Please pray for me. Always. Look, I have brought you a little gift. This crucifix. Pray for me every evening before it.
I will. Oh, how beautiful it is. Ebony and silver.
Yes.
I will hang it here over the fireplace, where I shall see it every morning when I waken.
And what of your husband? Won't he wonder where it came from?
My husband never comes to this room. When he gets back from his club, he asks my maid, Rosalie, whether I have retired. She tells him that I have, and he goes up to his own room.
He will hardly miss you when we have gone.
Oh, my darling. I am terribly afraid. When I think of what you plan for us...
There is nothing to fear.
Well, my friend, I can almost imagine another little scene as well.
Listen. It's my husband.
No.